from Lincoln Place Group of NA in the southwest area of NA.
My name's Jammin' Addicts. Wow, a lot of people come here. I know when I'd come to these meetings, I'd like to see if the speaker knew anything about it, or I was trying to find something out about relationships, because God knows I've messed up enough of them in my life. I got asked to speak. Greg asked me a couple days ago, and this is a hard topic for me. I mean, I know that I've tried all kind of relationships all my life, the relationship, the obvious one between a man and a woman. You know, there's a relationship that I was thinking about was, what I've gained, like with my parents and with friends and family and the relationship between coworkers and just people that you meet in your daily life. What I know about it is like a few different levels of it is there's a social relationships where, it's like the guy down at the gas station where I get my coffee. It's like, how you doing? How's your day? What's going on? And, I don't share much with that guy or I don't get too personal with him. There's maybe the relationship I have, with guys that work for me, that I work with or something, and I might get a little bit more personal with them. There's my intimate relationships with, say with my fiance or my sponsor or, people like that. So there's different levels that I can share with different people, and I think a lot of that comes with different levels of trust that I've gained or different levels of trust that I feel comfortable with. How vulnerable do I want to go? With a guy in the gas station, I don't say, boy, I'm full of fear today. I'm like, I think I'm feeling a lot of abandonment and a lot of fear issues. And he'd be like, yeah, right. Here's your coffee. Have a nice day, you wimp. There's different levels where I could take it with. The guys that I work with, I'm not going to tell them that, I'm feeling insecure and that I think I'm having problems, just coping with daily life because, I don't want to feel like I'm less than or feel like I'm, my macho persona, I guess. I'm a construction worker. I've always been, for the last 27 years, and we got that macho kind of image that, I don't show fear, you don't show you don't show pain, you don't show anything that makes you appear weak. And I don't know where that came from. My mother used to tell me, I can remember when I was at my father's funeral, my mother told me, don't cry, you don't need to cry. And I think I got that all the ways growing up, don't show emotion, don't show fear, don't show any type of a reaction to anything, and I guess using really enhanced that because I was able to isolate and go inside myself and get away from all them feelings with the drugs and the alcohol. So, trying to reverse that process is hard because I've got baggage, I've got I've got ways of thinking. I've got things ingrained in me that are really in there pretty hard. And trying to work those things out to become a more spiritual, maybe a person who's willing to be compassionate, willing to be, more nurturing, maybe to be, like the intimate level, what I believe is, is like when I'm intimate with somebody, there's the obvious, there's the sexual intimacy, there's the physical, there's the, but for me to get to the deeper level, it's like when I can purely trust somebody, like my sponsor, when I did a four-step with my sponsor, I had to trust him, there had to be a lot of trust there to be vulnerable and to be able to just let my guard down and say, hey, I did all this shit and all this garbage is in there. You know, here it is. You know, I'm hoping you're not going to judge me. I hope I'm not going to be, ridiculed. I hope I'm not going to, pay a price for this, for being vulnerable and being intimate. So, that's a hard thing, especially, as addicts coming in here and having that secret type of, mentality that I had coming in, that you didn't let anybody in. You didn't let anybody know what's going on. You didn't let anybody know your weaknesses, because once you showed your weaknesses, people can prey on them and they can use them against you. So that's a scary thing. In a relationship with my fiance, it's like, today we're in some couples therapy. And it's like, because what I'm trying to do today, I've been, obviously, I've been married twice, divorced twice, so I obviously don't know how to do marriages, right? Relationships, numerous relationships, there's all kinds, the sexual, the acquaintance, the trying to get together with someone to just have fun with, and, there's all those different types of relationships, but, what I have ingrained in me are patterns of living and patterns of seeing things that are not the healthiest, and I have to admit that. I can be controlling, I can be manipulative, I can have anger, I can have jealousy, I can have possessiveness, I can be. The obvious, the self-centeredness of this disease is like, it's mine, me, what I'm doing comes first and I'm most important. And, I think all that stuff bringing into a relationship is really hard. Especially as addicts, we have this disease of addiction, which, kind of magnifies all that stuff for me. So, intimacy and relationships for me are like something that I have to work on. I have to be able to take an honest and open look at what my thoughts are and what my patterns of living and how I've reacted to different situations are. And, sometimes that's not easy. A lot of times it's not easy because it's a lot of stress, it's a lot of hard work, and it takes some actual honesty, some deep gut level honesty to do that, to be able to put yourself up to somebody and have a mirror there. I can remember thinking that, when you get into a relationship, it's like dragging a full length mirror around with you, because you can see yourself, because usually the other person or I will do that. I won't be hesitant to point out your faults, and a lot of times they won't be hesitant to point out mine. And going through that stuff and working through that stuff without getting angry, without getting resentful, being able to find a balance with that, trying to find a middle ground, trying to find a solution to reacting like that, it's tough. It changes. What it is, it's that song, I'm a Work in Progress. I get a little bit better with some things every day. And I can revert back to the same shit easily. I got into a relationship 9 days clean. I'm over 13 years clean. And, I ended up getting married and getting divorced in that relationship. And, there was a lot of baggage in there. The marriage before that was like a childhood thing. And she had left me, and, there was two children involved. And, there was all kind of baggage that I brought from that. And then I would bring that to every single relationship I had. The fear of abandonment, fear of the insecurity, the fear that I'm not going to do this well enough. I need to control every situation, how she dresses, how she walks, how she looks, What happens, you know, at this situation? Who looks at her? Who, you know, it's like, I'm a freaking lunatic. It takes so much energy to do that. By the end of the night, I'm at 9 o'clock. I'm ready to go to bed because I've exerted so much energy in relationships, and you know, I'm finding out that I need to just take a look at my behavior and not everybody else's in my way of looking at things, because I'm demented sometimes, and I've got some baggage in there that's not rational. I've got some thinking in there that I've brought in from other relationships that's not rational. You know, it's based on past experiences. And, you know, growing up, my parents were divorced when I was 7, and all I saw was fighting there. When my stepfather and my mother got together, all I saw was fighting there. You know, it was arguing, fighting, throwing ashtrays. You know, I can remember hiding in my room when they were outside fighting. I'd have to go to the bathroom, and I'd be like in there, not wanting to come out of the house, out of the room, because I didn't want to face all that stuff. You know, and then you'd wake up the next morning, and everybody'd be like walking on eggshells. Nobody talked about what was going on. Everybody knew that something was going on, and that it's starting to rain. This might be short. Sure. For you, that's good for you. No. But, you know, just growing up was a challenge, and I know today that's molded a lot of my thinking today. And, you know, growing up in an abusive and a household like that did not, we're getting some rain here, so. I don't know, anybody wants to run for the hills, it's time to do it now. No, but, you know, today I have to try and do things differently because I do not want to repeat every relationship like the last one. I don't want to end every other relationship in an isolation and fear. I might end up this message in the rain. Okay.
I'm sorry.
That's all right.
Army.
Yeah.
I got it. This is it. I got a portable one.
Oh.
But the tape is going right now. He might have to redo it. I couldn't pause it. We need to find a tape guy. This ain't right.
Give me an arm to grab onto. Okay.
We need to find Chuck, man. Have him restart this. I didn't find the pause button. I couldn't find it. It's probably running now.
There's got to be something on there, George.
Yeah. We need to start the meeting over because it's on as we speak. I mean, it's covered. Oh, the microphone. Oh, there's some campers up here, huh?
Yeah, we got a few in the car. We have more if it wasn't flooded.
Jeez.
We need to get Chuck to redo this. I think we could start the meeting over again.
Guys, set up one of them tables. John, bring one of them tables right there. Bring it right up here. Bring a table right up front.
Hey, everyone,
you
walk away. The tape player is still running. No. I thought you needed it.
After the rain already up in the bunkhouse here, so that's your narration for the paper. Now, I don't know. Maybe that's God's way of giving me a chance to regroup. I mean, it's the first time I've ever got to pray in the middle of a lead, so. It's pretty neat. I don't know. I don't have much more to say. All I know that, you know, relationships and intimacy are tough. I mean, I know being an addict myself that I have to really, you know, work the 12 steps on this. I have to be all right with myself. You know, I heard a long time ago that if you don't love yourself, you're not going to be able to love anybody else. So I know that if I come get into a relationship and I'm still feeling real insecure, and you know, I heard one time that we find each other's level. That if I'm looking, you know, say I'm looking for a piece of ass and someone else is looking for a piece of ass, we can come together. But if I'm looking for a meaningful relationship, something that's going to last, then I need to be on a level where I'm going to only accept a meaningful relationship and vice versa. They're not going to be willing to accept that out of me, and I wouldn't accept that out of anybody else who isn't on that level. So that's some things that I've heard that I try and look at and try and be ready to be in a relationship before I get it, because I know we come in here and you know, the hormones start going, the first thing we want to do is get into a relationship, and a lot of times I've been here long enough to see that a lot of times they don't end up pretty. You know, either the people get high or, you know, or they're both sharing the same clean date, and then you don't see them anymore. I've seen that time and time again, because, you know, they say about, you know, giving yourself a year before you get into a relationship, it should be 5 or 6 or 7 years.
At least.
Because I know that I needed to work a 4-step and continue to work the steps and find out about myself and learn a little bit about myself, learn to be able to accept some of my liabilities, to be able to accept some of my shortcomings, to work on some of my shortcomings, and know I have them, and try not to inflict pain or anything else on anybody else, because I know I'm capable of that. I'm capable of doing a lot of things, but today, you know, through the program of Narcotics Anonymous, I'm in prayer and, you know, some help I'm able to take a look at that stuff. I'm able to grow. I'm able to change. I'm able to do things a lot differently today. I don't always do it perfectly, but, you know, today I can have different levels of intimacy. I can have different levels of relationships. And, you know, I believe today that I can be happy. You know, that's only a gift of working this program, you know, having the right people in my life, having, you know, people that care for me and being able to be open, honest, and being willing to do some work. You know, relationships are work. I can't expect to come in here and not have to do any work and achieve anything that's meaningful and lasting. Well, that's all I have. I want to thank the committee for asking me, and thank you for what you shared.
introduce the second speaker, Marla Jay, from the 60-Minute Greenfield Group of NA in the Pittsburgh area of NA.
So about your plans, and he cracks up because I was thinking, oh, I never let outside. This is so nice because I'm a real woodsy kind of. Put me with the bears and the animals as opposed to. And sure enough, but then it stopped. So if you want to, no, it didn't. I'm a photographer. It's my profession, and I tell the brides in the training on their anniversary, on their wedding day, I say, God is so happy he's crying on you. So that's. These are just the tears of God. My heart's banging, and thanks to the committee, I've had one hell of a week thinking about having to come here and do this because, like Jay had said, I've not been real successful with this. And if I'm going to be honest, which I hope to be, it is the weakest area of my program. Now, that's not to say I didn't try. But the state is still making major decisions for the first year, which is really where this whole don't get into a relationship came from, because most of us, when we slithered in here, didn't have any relationships left out there. Okay? With the rehabs and that kind of stuff, it tends to be, you know, we're going to do this together kind of thing. And, but, you know, when they said to me, don't make any major decisions for the first year, they were implying the, you know, the relationships, the intimate relationships. He also talked very nicely about we come into this not on the wings of success. We come in dragging all our baggage with us. And without having worked the four-step first, I'm going to drag that baggage wherever I go. I'm going to take it to the relationship. I'm going to take it to the meeting. I took mine to the gas station, too. And it wasn't I was feeling insecure. My response when I was feeling insecure was not, let me tell you how I feel. It was, let me tell you how bad a job you're doing. Because you're not sure you mean right. And so if you take the word relationships and you break it down into the verb, which is the action, it's to relate. Now, I get a relationship with Elaine. Some people decide, oh, of this, I'm going the other direction, right? Some other smart person had an umbrella. You know, somebody else has to run and pretend like if they run, then they're going to be rained on less. But we all sort of had to do it in our own way, right? It was funny watching people choose their path coming up, because what seemed to be the easier, softer way was actually the shorter way, but the harder way. And, you know, we're slipping all over the place, and there's jaggers and all this other stuff, and then you separate the city from the country folk that way. And this, you laugh, but this is true, yeah? This is all about our relationships, our relationship with nature. Now, I can, the last drink and drug that I had as a result of this program of Narcotics Anonymous was June 1st of 1986. And, you know, if we look at our physical health in recovery, and we have mental health, and we have spiritual health, and then we have like these intimate relationships and how we interact with the world. And on a physical level, she didn't do too bad. Yeah, came in at 27, just hit 44, not too bad, right? Could be worse. On a mental level, yeah, I go outside the rooms and I have a relationship with my therapist that is non-sexual, by the way. You know, but it's very intimate. So now the question is, how do we obtain an intimate relationship without sex? Somebody coming in off the street is an immediate needs gratification person, like we all are, that hasn't had an opportunity to examine themselves, that wants what they want when they want it, like I am, that is so insecure that they need the butterfly to tell them that they're okay. Oh, and it's so self-centered, they think the thorn bush is just messing with us, right? The thorn bush is just being the thorn bush. I ran into the thorn bush. But when I came in these rooms, the thorn bush was in my way. Now, if I go into a relationship and the thorn bush is in my way, I, you know, feel sorry for you. Because you're always in my way. Now, if I come to it, it says acceptance is the answer to all of our problems. It says that we have a physical, emotional, spiritual, mental disease. Physically, we deal with it when we don't take the first one. Emotionally, we deal with it when we begin to work some of the steps, and because the steps are a way to deflate the ego. And the ego is that me, I that we all come in with. I could not work the first word of the first step for the first year, for the first 5 years. Kim's sitting here, we got clean around the same time, and I always sort of looked at her, and she knew how to interact. At least it appeared as if she knew how to interact. But I was always, I don't want to get involved. I was not a big service person. I was not, and back then, if you weren't in service, you weren't, you know, you were going to use. But you don't have to. I found ways to give back other ways. I make sure that any newcomer that walks into my home group feels welcome. And when the person comes back the next week, I remember their name. Because that's what people did for me. And the first time someone remembered my name, when I walked back into the meeting, I was flabbergasted because I had to get that person, you know, was it. So as these steps begin to deflate our ego, and we develop things like, I was into the book earlier, I do a step meeting. So we talk about honesty, open-mindedness, willingness. Yeah, so when it says, with these we are well on our way. Now, if I take honesty, open-mindedness, and willingness into a relationship, that may work. Humility is one of the first things that we learn from taking our first step. But what is humility? It's the ability to look at the strengths and the weaknesses of ourselves to present that as a picture, to present that as a being, to offer that self to another human being. Now, if I'm going to really take a look at the gain humility in myself in the first step, and I really care about you, I'm going to back off and not try to mesh with you, because if I'm really gathering humility, I'm going to see that I don't really have too much to offer, that I'm negative. And when we look at the hope that we see in the second step and take that into our relationship, that hope is a very powerful thing. It's the hope that we can do it a different way. It's the hope you have to ascertain in order to divorce twice and do it again. Now, I have a lot of respect for them, because I stand here as a 44-year-old woman single. And I don't say that with, divorce twice and, you know, I'm single again. I don't believe you're single again, just like we're not virgins again. Okay, no matter how long it is in between the last one. But, So, and I've never been able to ascertain the level of intimacy with another human being, the level of trust that you spoke about. On that level, to schlep a mirror with me, a full-length mirror, I love that, because I believe that we're all mirrors of each other. So, let's go back to the surrender. We get more surrender when we do steps. We get the third step. We get courage when we do the fourth step. 9 out of 10 times, my fear grabs a hold of me and wings me around because, why? I play it around in my head. I take a situation, project the outcome. It's always bad, right? We're addicts. It's a bad outcome. And then I'm activated up here. Yeah? And then there's no way I'm going to go try that. There is no way. And then we can use the tools of the program to support our own hiding. So what we do is we say, well, I was married twice. Yeah? And insanity teaches me that doing the same thing, expecting different results, is insane. So I'll never get married again. And then all of a sudden we start hiding behind the tools that save our lives. And then we're sitting at 16, 20 years clean, and we're still sleeping in half the bed wondering what the fuck happened. We're asked to build a relationship with God. And that is probably the scariest relationship that any single one of us has to develop. I was scared out of my mind, because when they said to me, turn your will and your life over to the care of God as you understand Him, I figured, you know, I was never going to be like able to have any fun. I wasn't going to be able to laugh. I wasn't going to be able to, you know, feel any kind of freedom, that I was going to have to be like this, you know, perfect something that, I don't know, but I knew I didn't want to be it. I thought that you were trying to break me down so you could rebuild me. Into what? An image of you? No, and that's not what we do here. What we do is that we release enough ego to allow the spirit within us to arise. And until we are able to quiet the mind, take a look at ourselves, write it down, make the inventory, and quite frankly, the fourth step has a shelf life of one day. Because as soon as you get this awareness, you're learning something else. So, you know, it's not like we do this thing once, which is what totally astounds me about this program, because here I stand 16 years later, and the program of Narcotics Anonymous is supporting my spiritual growth by asking me to speak on the weakest area of my recovery. Yes, we come in here with tests. My primary caretaker, my mother, beat me every single day of my life from the age of 0 to 13, and probably was, you know, telling me to shut up when I was in the womb. I stood, and that's what I learned about love. I love you. This hurts me more than it hurts you. Yeah, right. You haven't felt anything in your life, lady. And so I come into relationships with that, especially not working any steps. What happens too is that we hold it in our cellular memory, in our body. And I carry myself like that. I carry myself as this, I can take care of myself. I've been doing it since I was 3. Yeah. Once I hit her back, that was the end of it. She didn't hit me anymore. So I know how to keep you away from me. And so I can't soften. And so I do a lot of work around them. Just trying to soften. I'm trying to put out a better energy. The first thing I learned to do was smile. People for years and years and years were saying to me, why don't you smile? And I thought they were coming on to me. They were just asking me to, you know, sit down, chill out, you know, be honest. We're all in this together. And I had a very difficult time with them. And so I developed this relationship with God. I finally let go enough to turn my will and my life over. which gave me the opportunity to have the courage to write a four-step and take a look, you know, on it. My first four-step, biggest work of fiction I ever wrote in my life. But it was my perception at the time. And it brought me the tool of inventory, self-inventory, of looking at myself. And thank God that he doesn't give us any more than we could handle, because if I know now what I knew then, I wouldn't be here now. Because I've been, it's a rocky road coming through without taking anything. In five, I get a little inkling of trust. But I didn't do it with my sponsor, and I didn't do it with this one, and they said go there, and I said no, I'm going to go here. And they said, okay, just do it. I reaffirmed in 6 and 7 my relationship with God as I understood him. And then went and made amends for what I saw in my first full step with my peace in the line. Yeah. I thought it was like this, it was short all the time. You know. Oh, and take that into your relationships and, you know, I don't want to hear I'm sorry anymore. Quit doing it. Right? I don't want to hear I'm sorry anymore. This words, I don't want to hear I'm sorry anymore. The what the 11th step offers me is an opportunity to sit down, shut up, and follow my breath. I do shut up eventually. And to go within and to say and to slow down enough so that I don't have to jump on this. Because I don't see the world as that of lack anymore. Because if you think I'm cute, you know, then if I don't do this, then if I don't get them now, then I'm never going to get it. No. That's not the way it works. That's not the way it works. I have to feel like I can put down some of the walls around you before I take off my clothes. I agree very, very much on what you said, and that you will seek, you will find what you seek. We reap what we sow. All the great truths and spiritual truths that we find in the rooms that appear to be paradox, they're all over the spiritual world. If you take a minute and just say to the world, say, ah. You know, like that first sip of coffee in the morning. And every word for God has that in it. Buddha. Siddhartha. Jesus. Marla doesn't have it. and to slow down enough to say, and to get touched with that center. And then say to somebody, you know, when you were checking him out, that really made me uncomfortable because I carry these chairs. Whole different puppet. 16 years ago, walking in here, after doing what I did on the outside, there was no way that that's what I would interact with you. I have been hiding. I spent 7 years living in the woods, going off the land and traveling back and forth to Pittsburgh. And it was like the last person on the electric line, the last person on the phone line. There is an end to that stuff. In Armstrong County, I lived at the end of it. And I began to go inward and find this tremendous connection with the universe, with the trees and the thorn bushes and all, you know, and the bear and all that stuff. And had I stayed there any more than the 7 years than I did, I would have been, I'd reassimilated back into city life, but I brought with me so much that I learned. Because had I stayed there, I would have been hiding behind my comfort zone. It was a very difficult transition for me to come back in and have more than 5 cars pass my house on any given day. I started to feel a little bit exposed and things like that, because as soon as I wasn't quite right with what was happening with other people, I could just head out for my 70 acres and that was the end of it. And if I didn't come to you, you guys talk about like in the woods, if you never come out to me. And I didn't have to worry about anyone ever knocking on my door but a Jehovah Witness. And those, you just don't answer. So it's really, when I come into the rooms of Narcotics Anonymous, it's all about you. If you would only. If you did only. If you. As I stay in Narcotics Anonymous and I practice the spiritual principles that are offered to us in the steps and in the traditions, it becomes about me. It becomes not, are you loving me, but am I loving you? Is Mike still here, or was he the one that beelined for the... He's so sweet. He was walking, never saw this person anymore, walking with a cantaloupe, or walking over to me and talking with a cantaloupe. I thought he was carrying, a soccer ball or something. And it was, round, like, cantaloupe, silver. And he said, you want some? And he said, yeah. And he said, here. And I was like, no, I want some. And he's like, well, I got to work on that. And this is the unconditional love that I experienced in this room that I can see now that I couldn't see then when it came in. But Mike went and cut the cantaloupe open, found the knife, took out the seeds, cut it up, and then brought it back to the meeting. Did I ask him to do that? No. But if you wore that underwear, you better wash it. I mean, it's amazing how we can be so unconditionally loving with strangers, but yet with our own mirror, we're going to, go stab and stuff. Why is that? Because all the destruction that we did out there, we really were doing to ourselves. And if I come in here sick and tired of being sick and tired, you know that I have beat myself to a pulp. Now, why would I pick you to be my mirror? Why do we want to mirror that to each other? So here I am 16 years later and I'm healthy and shit. I'm trying so hard to stop swearing because I've been told that it just doesn't look right. And it's such an integral part of how I communicate and I get along. I pay more attention to your energy than I do your words. Is it judgment? I don't know. Yeah, I guess. I don't know. But what it is it's asking myself, do I feel safe? It's not asking myself, what can that person give me? Or what is that person going to look like on my arm? Or what is my mother going to think about that person? It's about, do I want to expose and let down, even take a brick out of the wall? I mean, when you're checking people out, man, you can take the brick out and just hold it right there. So if you don't like what happens, you can shove it back. Get them on. So, I had my belly button birthday a couple days ago. Some of us learn manners when we're here. And it was very sad because I called a friend of mine and I said, it's my birthday, take me to dinner, right? And then my parents took me, you know, last night. It was just my parents and me. And, you know, it's weird. Because, you know, when you get to the stage, you're supposed to have somebody, you know, somebody making a big deal with the kids coming up and making your breakfast and all that other stuff. And I don't have that. But one thing I have is gratitude, an extreme gratitude for what I do have. It is not a world of lack anymore. It's a world of abundance. These trees, they make little cones and stuff, and in those little cones are seeds. And even if you take a pine cone and you open those all, I'm telling you, I got real connected with those trees and stuff. I know our trees. And each one of those little seeds has the opportunity to grow a whole new tree. And so meanwhile, there's like a gazillion cones on this single tree, and all you need is one seed from, there's 100 of them in this one cone, of which there's 100 on this one tree. And so, where's my journey at today? My journey is paying attention to smiling. And when I wake up and I feel bad, I put a smile on my face. In 8 out of 10 days now, finally, when you see me, I have a smile on my face. And it's not because I feel so good inside. It's not always how you feel. It's how you are. I've slowed down a lot. I'm no longer getting, I've done the professional thing. I've done the master's degree. I got it happening. I'm in double digits. I can walk around and hide in this stuff. And God will never fail me. God will never fail me. So I said to my friend the other day, I wish I could marry God. And he said, you can in the Catholic Church. And I don't want to be a nun. Be married, you know? But I have a relationship with God that I know that all things happen in His world exactly the way they're supposed to. And I'll close with this. Remember how I told you, why would I pick you if you come in and off the street? And I did it last March. I'll tell you why I picked that person and what I saw and what I was able to grow spiritually from that experience. I was able to, from receiving his behavior that was just about as obnoxious as mine, I was able to put myself in the shoes of my abuser and see what I did to provoke the abuse that I got. So now, thank you. Once you give me a gift, instead of why are you giving me this gift, I'm like, and receive a little bit. Part of the relationship is receiving. And I'm real good at the giving part. So when it comes to softening the mouth to receive, that's where, and surrender occurs when we walk into the room. When we're soft enough and be down enough and tired, and sick and tired to receive the grace of God. That's all I have to say. Very much.
Jay and Marla for sharing their experience, strength, and hope with us today. I think they deserve another round of applause. Okay, can we have a reading of this for the day, please? Romeo and Gemini.
tell yourself, just for today, my thoughts will be on my recovery, living and enjoying life without these drugs. Just for today, I will have faith in someone in NA who believes in me and wants to help me in my recovery. Just for today, I will have a program. I will try to follow it to the best of my ability. Just for today, through NA, I will try to get a better perspective on my life. I will be unafraid. My thoughts will be on my new associations, people who are not using and who have found a new way of life.
Okay, can we have a moment of silence for the still sick and suffering addicts inside and outside of these walls, and for the babies born and raised with addiction without their consent? Father, that would be urgent. So.